Hello everyone, welcome back to the Education for Climate Talks. Today it's a true pleasure to have with us Koen Timmers. Hello Koen.
Hello.
So Koen, the first thing with you is to, it's quite complicated because I got to present yourself and you've done so many things in 20 years. You've been involved in the education sector, but it's not that easy. Anyway, you are an author. We see you in many screens around the world. You've founded several activities and initiatives that are all global. One in particular that was of great interest for us, of course, was the Climate Action Project, launched in 2017. And you say, you claim that you united 3.5 million students around the world in 152 countries, which is just amazing. It was an initiative promoted by Dalai Lama, Jane Goodall, so very impressive. And also take action global. But I mean, first, I will leave you the floor so that you can present yourself and explain a bit your journey into sustainable education and present Take Action Global in particular, which is a very interesting initiative. Welcome again, and please, floor is yours.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. So basically, I believe that many people are pointing towards governments and industry when it comes to the climate emergency, but I truly believe that we all need to change our personal behavior as well. And for that, we need, I think that climate education is really crucial. So I've been in education for 25 years right now. And in 2017, I decided to launch a project or an experiment, if you like it. And basically, I wanted to unite teachers and students globally, basically, and I wanted them to do more than just learning about climate change. I also wanted them to take action. And there is really interesting research which states that there has to be the right balance between the three H's, which is the head, heart, and hands. And so basically, that is why the Climate Action Project also focuses on those three components. And the head is great, you know, you need to know everything about it. And so when you ask students to plant trees without not knowing anything about climate change, I don't think that's going to work. But if you have students who are really knowledgeable about this matter and there's no emotion involved, that's not going to work either, because they think that technology is going to solve the whole matter, basically. So we are constantly trying to balance those three factors and empowering our teachers and students to do more, basically, to come up with potential solutions and take positive action, not just yelling. And what is really great to see is if you make sure that there is an interaction between all of those students and teachers from different cultures, different languages, different beliefs and habits, it's really interesting what happens, basically. Because what is interesting about climate change is that the causes are pretty much the same in different countries, but the effects can be very different. Like we had floodings in Germany, we have extreme drought in Portugal, for example, and that's just a few countries in Europe. But when you have those students interacting with each other and they're sharing their findings, there's the first-hand information which comes to them, which allows them to learn from their peers in other countries what's happening over there. And that is the emotional part which we try to bring in, basically. And so, yeah, it really went well. And it's extremely interesting to see what happens with the teachers as well when they start interacting with each other in our communities.
Thank you for that. And congratulations, really. I love it. Head, heart, and hands. We tend to focus too much on the head, maybe. Not even our heart and hands. Fully agree with you on that. Let's stick to your last point, because that's something which is of great interest, of course, for the Education for Climate Coalition, community. So the value of communities. I understand from what you're saying that, as a matter of fact, you believe in the value of community for learning. So can you tell us more about your modus operandi so that you can understand how these communities can generate action and then, of course, in the end, make a change, please?
Yes. I'm a big advocate for collaboration and collaborative learning as well. And so there's several levels here. There's the students working together, but also the teachers. And allow me to focus on the teachers primarily right now. So basically, it's called a community of practice, and it is what we mostly see with teachers is that they are working on an island. They are working with their students and often not working with other teachers outside their own school. So it's really great to gather all of those teachers in different countries in a community which allows them to share what they have been doing, what really worked for them, what was really engaging for the students, but also what really went wrong and some concerns as well. And it's great to see it's the OER movement as well, Open Educational Resources movement. It's great to see teachers creating activities, lesson plans, and sharing those with their colleagues as well. And what only can happen is that the sum of all of those different components is just like huge, basically. And it is an alternative way of training teachers as well. It's professional development. It's not them learning from one expert during a webinar or a conference. It is them learning for a long time from each other, from teachers who are teaching the same subject to the same age of students, sometimes with a different background and context. But that's great, because that is an extra aspect from what they are basically learning. And you can see that they are becoming friends after a while, that they are starting visiting each other as well. But it's really interesting. Let me give you just one example. What I learned from one of those teachers in our community is that you can create your own bioplastic with milk and vinegar. Just two very simple things, resources, which probably every individual has at home as well. And the students really love this activity. They can create and they can craft, they can even create small Lego minifigures with their own bioplastic. And the great thing about this is that it is so easy, but none of the teachers knows about this activity. But when you start sharing it with each other and they can replicate, so the dissemination of this and replication is so wonderful. And you can see that the practice of the teachers is just growing instantly. How we are doing it is by using a platform which we created. The first platform was more like not that professional. The new we have right now allows people to interact in different ways, synchronous, asynchronous, with audio, by text, by having a video conference with each other. They can send exchange resources and they can like those and they can acknowledge each other's efforts. And we noticed that language is a very important part of that as well, because some people struggle with English. And so what we did is bringing in facilitators, basically, who are guiding the teachers with that part. Another thing what is really important is to see that the teacher is starting. In most cases, it's just like small steps. And then when you guide them, and like the next year, they are willing to do more, they are creating more. The first year may be a bit more consuming, and the next year may be a bit more sharing and guiding each other as well. So yeah, it's really great to see what happens in those communities of practice. Yeah.
Super interesting. And I see, by the way, a lot of similarities between what you're describing and what we're trying to do with the Education for Climate community. So that's super interesting. And also that an aspect of doing some synchronous and asynchronous meeting is super important. And as a matter of fact, I mean, we're dealing with a human activity. So it's about the human beings. They need to know each other. And I think the basis for working well together is trust. And you need to build that trust. So let's focus precisely on that, because it's linked to that. And the project you're leading and you're promoting and conveying also through these communities of practice, once you have a project implemented, how do you measure the concrete impact you have? Because that's what matters really at the end of the day. Can you tell us more about that?
Please, yeah, Kevin. Sure. So basically, what we notice is that different stakeholders are having different interpretations of impact. Basically, when we speak with governments, they are interested in the amount of people involved. Right now, this year, we reached 4.5 million already. Then when you speak with press, they are interested in like anecdotes, and the teachers themselves are really interested in the pedagogical part, basically, and the content. But I started talking today about the behavioral change, and in the end, and what really matters to the scientists as well, is the amount of carbon avoided, reduced, and even removed, because that is what it is all about, basically. And so what we did is we created an algorithm with scientists, which is basically showing actions, very precise actions, which are also culturally relevant to students and teachers and parents and everybody who's basically involved, because so many people don't know what to do. They are concerned, but some people don't really know how to change their own lifestyle. And so the app we created is showing those actions, but also what kind of amount of carbon you're avoiding or reducing because of taking those actions. And now we can see what the Climate Action Project, all of our initiatives basically led to. We can see exactly per category, per age, per country, the amount of carbon avoided. Yeah.
That's impressive, really. Thank you for that. So we have to finish that talk, and I would like you to tell us more about the very specific project among the various projects you are promoting that you have developed, which is called Coding for Climate, right? So that's very intriguing. Can you tell us more about it and how you envision the articulation, the connection between the digital transition, which is at stake, of course, on the green transition? So maybe Coding for Climate is the perfect fit, please.
Yes. We already had a chat with each other, and I'm really pleased when you told me that we have the same beliefs in the matter that climate education doesn't have to be a new topic, which is part of education, and teachers have to focus on something new, they have a new burden. No, it can be part of every subject, basically, and it is suitable for every age. And so many people, many teachers are, and especially after COVID, during and after COVID, they noticed the importance of technology. In our own country, we have something called, which is the digi jump, basically, and schools are just using tech. It's a one-on-one, basically. Every student nearly has their own device, and technology is everywhere, and you cannot read an article without AI being mentioned today. And so what we want to do is to bring those together, basically, technology and the sustainability and social good as well. So the Coding for Climate project is new, is a new initiative. We already had 1,000 schools who signed up for it yesterday when we announced it. And we're really excited basically because the teachers with their students will go on a journey, and they will use technology in a way that they will solve a problem, which is called climate change, but they also can focus on plastic pollution, on the loss of biodiversity, et cetera, et cetera. And it's up to them to choose basically how they are going to do it. They can use Minecraft, and that's the gamification. They can create an eco-friendly world. They can use Scratch, which is a free tool which allows you to learn to code. There's also Python. They can use AI for it. Like, we had a teacher who has been generating images with AI, which are in the style of DALI, and it's all about climate change. So we ended up with paintings which are not created by the famous painter, but which was created by the computer. We are using different ways as well. There's the micro bit, and there's also a way in which you can code without computers even. We have provided lesson plans, and teachers are free to join us. They will be guided, and they will have a wonderful experience for them and their students as well. And in the end, they will learn in a very engaging way about this climate crisis, which I believe is so much better than going on a street. I truly believe that also may be important to give a signal to governments and industry, but I think we can do so much more with education. And I was really happy to share it today with you.
Thank you so much. I hope your message will be heard. I can't wait to see what we can do together. I'm sure the members of our community will be absolutely fascinated by what you're saying. So thank you so much for that again. And we wish you all the best. And I look forward to all what you can be doing together. Thank you again, Kern.
Thank you so much.